All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning, I want to share with you, I'll put that there, the title there. I'm not blocking the Waymo. I'm going to talk about going towards our common destiny as one. All right, I'm going to talk about going towards our common destiny as one. You know, and in order for us to go together, I mean, we're all on this, you know, we've all been born again of God, and we're all going, you know, we're all going somewhere, right? You know, we're not going nowhere. We're going somewhere.
Right.
All right? Yeah, I don't want to say that. Anyway, so, but in order for us to do that, we also need to understand that, you know, where are we going? And when we say, where are we going, is it for just this person and that person? What is the heart of God? You know, well, the heart of God is for His church, and He says He's building His church. Now, one of the classic examples of, you know, going towards destiny is, I'm going to talk about 2 points this morning. Maybe I'll just read out the 2 points first before I get into them. But the first thing that we're going to talk about is we're going to recognize the time that we're living in. And number two, we're going to see our bright future. So I'm going to talk about point number one. The first thing that we need in order to move together, we need to recognize what are the times that we're currently living in right now. The amazing thing about Daniel was this: he understood the timing of God. We've been studying the book of Daniel in our life groups, and one of the key words and everything that he had, you know, almost every dream and every vision that he had to do with timing. Right? For example, when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, he said, you know, not that I'm smarter, that I'm better than you, but that you would know the dream that God has given you to your heart, that this is concerning the latter times, the latter days. The dream of the image of the statue, the metallic statue of that represents the kingdom of this world, had to do with the latter times. Right? And there are many things that Daniel had, visions. And some things were revealed to him, and some things were sealed to him. But he says, let this be shut and sealed, for this has to do with days in the future, or latter times. Alright? But the thing is, once we understand that Daniel, when you look at the book of Daniel, for example, it talks about the times that we're living in, suddenly we understand that what Daniel was actually talking about was that he was actually prophesying about our time. Yeah. Because we are living in the last days. Right? Jesus, in the book of Hebrews, it says, you know, that, you know, in time past, God spoke through His prophets, fathers and prophets. But now, in these days, in these last days, has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. Another prophecy that was given to us by Joel was that it shall come to pass that your young men, that the Holy Spirit will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. Now we understand that, and we see in the book of Acts that prophecy was fulfilled, because in the last days, it says, as the prophet Joel said, I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so we have this understanding that, hang on, hey, we are living in the last days. You know, from the day of Acts, from there when the Holy Spirit was poured upon, all the way until now, we are currently living what we call in the last days. And these last days is also known as the present evil age. Alright? So when we talk about the last days, it's an age, it's a period of time. Alright? We're talking about a period of time. But the Bible also tells us that the age will end. You know, Jesus said, lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. But what age is He talking about? He's talking about these last days, this age I'll be with you, because, you know, when this age ends, another age comes in.
Yeah.
Alright? So what's the next age? So what are we talking about? So first of all, we recognize, okay, what time are we living in? And what's coming next? And what age or what period of time is coming after the last days? Okay, so So I've got a few points there that that basically just puts out it's in a few slides. It says it's got 6 points there. It said it just helps us to understand what are the things that are happening in the last days, and I'll just proceed. Number one, God's. I'm just going to quickly just give an overview of some of the aspects of what's happening in the last days first. Again, and I'll make the point of why we need to understand that in order to move as one. First, we understand that God speaks through His Son Jesus Christ in the last days, as we read, as I quoted from Hebrews, Book of Acts, and Joel, the prophet Joel, also talks about there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The book of Isaiah and book of Micah talks about in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on the tops of the mountains, and nations shall flow to it. Nations shall flow, because why? The house of God has become the house of prayer for all nations. another aspect of the last days, or what's happening in the last days. In the last days, perilous times shall come. 5. Scoffers will come in. And other aspects of what will happen in the last days is some shall depart from the faith. Okay, so this is some of the aspects of the last days. And the Bible talks about these days and times. In fact, the Bible talks about our day and time. You know, as Pastor's been sharing with us, you know, we are valuable, very valuable in God's eyes. Every one of us is very valuable. And I believe that valuable people or significant people live in significant time. And so we are actually living in a very significant time, because everything that's happening here is leading on to what's happening next. You know, and this is how we see. I'm just going to read a few scriptures from the Bible, how, you know, things... You know, the times that we're living in those last days, a lot of the things the prophets and all the Old Testament prophets and even angels desired to look into, they didn't get that revelation, but they had it for us. Is that right? So I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. One from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. And I'm going to read from Ephesians really quickly, just to put this in context, right? So it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating that when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. See, there are certain things that they wrote about, they didn't know, but they were written for another generation. And it is for us. For us, right? It's for us. And it's for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Because the gospel has to do with our spirit, soul, and body. Next scripture I just quickly want to read is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. This is what it says. It says, for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, other times, remember how God spoke in time past by the prophets, in other main ages, it was not made to the sons of, known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So what I'm just trying to put out there is that the Bible is contained of so many things that people in the Old Testament, they did not know, but it's written for us and for now. Like the book of Daniel is relevant for us now, because he was talking about the last days and we are living in the last days. But why is it important for us to move in one, to understand the times, recognize the times we're living in? It's because If we don't recognize the times that we're living in, we will all live rather carelessly or in our own way. We will all try and do our own things because we're not aware of, hang on, do I realize it? And this is as much as for me as anybody, but this is what the Lord is dealing, is showing as well, is that, you know, everything that we're talking about, a lot of it has to do with, hey, this is what God is doing right now in this generation, with these people, with the church. He says, I'm building my church. When? Now God is building His church. You know? And so all these things that the Bible has been talking about, the book of Daniel, it's actually talking about us and the next generation all the way until Jesus Christ returns. So it's so relevant to us, but if we lose sight of that, we don't have any clear direction. So we do things, you know, we don't have that. So we go here and there, we go here and there, and we miss the target because we're not aware of what's happening. Like, for example, like, you know, in most countries, I mean, in Australia, for example, there's four seasons, right? Can you help me remember them? So you've got summer, and then autumn, and then winter, and then spring. Now, for every season that we are living in, okay, you know, we, because of that particular season, you dress differently, right? All right? You put more clothes when it's winter, you know? Is that? But when it's summer, you know, you don't put a, you know, you won't put a jumper or sweater unless it's like freezing cold in the air, which a lot of times it is. But my point is, you know, even the type of food that you eat would be different. Because, you know, it's cold, so maybe you like to drink more soup. You like your food to be very, very warm. Maybe you like to have a nice cup of hot tea, or I don't know, whatever it is. But because of the times that you because of the season you live in, we would adjust ourselves according to that season.
Yeah.
Right? So, in this, you know, and one season will lead to the next season, right? So we don't stay in winter forever and ever, right? So after winter, then you have spring. Now after spring, then you have summer. So when you look at the scriptures like this, it's like winter is like the last days. Perilous time shall come. Pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So it's like a time of preparation. But then spring comes, right? And then you have the 1,000-year reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then summer comes. You enter into the everlasting kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth. So a season leads to another season. An age will lead on to the next age. The last days is not the finality. The last days is only a period of time. It's a span of period of time whereby God is preparing and restoring His church. Yeah. Scripture tells us that He should remain in heaven until all things that has been prophesied by the prophets should be restored. That He would not return unless all things were restored. So what does that mean? It means that God will restore everything. You know, because at some point in time, the church went downwards. And lost all, you know, and lost its power, it lost Christ, it lost everything. But then, since then, God has been restoring, you know, every dimension back into the church. Repentance, water baptism, laying out of hands, resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment. And all these things, God is just restoring until He returns. So that's the reason why. First thing that we need to recognize that we are living in the last days, and because of that, you know, I'm asking the Lord, you know, in this period of time that I'm living in, you know, I want to be able to maximize my time to do the things that are important. Bible tells us to redeem our time, right? Redeem the time because days are evil. Okay, so we're going to start thinking about, you know, okay, well, in these last days that I'm living in, what does it mean to me? And what does it mean to us as a church? Because once we realize that, hey, there are so many things that needs to be done. All right, like I said, I'll reiterate that. But like I said, because of a certain season we're living in, we will live that way. And because if we understand, and we start understanding that the season that we're living in, and it will determine how we live. It will also determine of, you know, what kind of diet you and I want. Okay, I'm talking about spiritual things right now. I'm not talking about natural things. So the kind of diet we would need in the spiritual things. The kind of things that, hey, okay, what do I need to focus on? Alright, and I believe our hearts have got a heart for the word to be so strong in us, because why? We realize, okay, hang on, perilous times are coming. False teachers are coming in. The spirit, the Antichrist spirit is in the world already. You know, and people it says that those are creeping into the church, and so all these things are coming. So, you know, and our pastors have a heart to make sure that every one of us are strong, because in these last days, you know, that, you know, even the Bible says, Jesus said, the elect will be deceived. That even the elect will be deceived, you know. And so there's a dimension of things that we've got to realize and embrace, that, you know, our foundation in Christ must be so strong. Realize that these things are important for us because of the times that we are living in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Alright, so I just want to pray that right now in Jesus' name, that God, that you would open our hearts,
yes,
to understand,
yes,
that the times that we're living in right now, it is so significant,
yes,
that, you know, that we as your body must begin to rise in Jesus' name. We need to rise in the mighty name of Jesus like never,
yes,
before.
Amen.
And that in the mighty name of Jesus, we are conscious of what you're doing, what you're moving right now, what the things that you're doing in the name of Jesus, so that we will not get carried away by our own things, but because we're so in tune of the things and the things that you're talking about our time and about our future, we'll be so in tune, that we'll be so aligned, that every member of this body of Christ here, right here in this local body, will begin to rise in Jesus' name. Everybody will begin to function in the mighty name of Jesus. This, Lord, release that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, let me just continue with that thought for just a little bit longer. Is, you know, like music, for example, like we're talking about, we need to recognize the times that we're living in. Like music, like you have a group of musicians playing. All right. The more we have, the first thing that they need to understand is that, okay, what song are we playing? That makes sense, right? So once you know what song we're playing, we need to know what key you're playing in. Are you singing it? Hallelujah, God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, God reigns. Okay, so you got different keys, just to make sure. I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, I just want to make sure it's clear. Okay? I'm not trying to show up my... Okay. And so once you understand the song and the key, then the musician needs to coordinate in terms of playing, right? Now, if they don't understand that, you can imagine chaos, because everyone will be playing their own thing, and then it will just collide rather than complement, right? Now, the other thing that you know, maybe we never really think about this, is that the more instrument we have here, the more the musicians need to know how to play with each other. Which means, you know, like, okay, this is a music lesson, but I'll give you some stuff that I learned, right? So, for example, here, you've got a keyboard player, you've got a guitarist and a drummer and some singers, right? And flute or violin, whatever it is. Now, the keyboard player, when the keyboard player is playing, because our church does not have a bass player, what the piano player has to do is, well, the way they play, they have to cater for the bass, which means the left hand, which has... their left hand has to have a lot more movement, because there's no other instrument that's going to do the job to provide that sustain in the bass.
Yep.
Yeah.
However, if, say for example, God blesses this church with a bass player, right? What would actually happen is that the pianist will have to actually do less.
Adjust.
Do a lot less, and let the bass player do the bassy stuff. And that left hand will do a lot less, and all she has, we've only got female, so only she would have to do would just maybe move the right hand a bit, and here and there, and the left hand is very minimal. So, but it doesn't mean because the piano is playing less, which means suddenly there's no more music, it's gone. No. So what happens is this, is that there's less here, but there's someone else doing the bass. And when that comes together, it produces that music that you want to hear. And it provides that balance in the music.
Yeah.
All right? What does that mean? Is that, you know, when You see, without this understanding, you can have a group of people playing, and everyone is playing with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. You know, you have the piano playing as loud as the guitarist, and the guitarist is playing as loud as the drummer, and everything is just playing, everything is saying, ah, yes, hit it strong with all of my strength. And what you actually end up with is noise. And you will find that music has different frequencies, you know. You have instrument for certain frequencies, you know, you have the bass player not to do the highs, but to do the bass.
Yeah.
You know, you have certain instrument that will play a certain range of frequency, so that when all frequencies are aligned well, it provides the whole range of frequency. And what that ends up happening is that it's a very balanced sound and music. But if everybody's playing the bass, the mids, and the highs, everything's everywhere, it will just hit your face, our face, in fact. But when the musicians have the understanding, okay, hang on, okay, yeah, so we've got this instrument, let's learn how to play each other, we may be doing less, but the productivity of what's happening is actually much better.
Yep.
So when the body of Christ also recognizes, okay, these are the days that I'm living in, like just as they understand, okay, this is how we play as a group, this is what we're doing, this is the song, this is the key. When the church starts to recognize, okay, these are the days that we're living in, people will begin to rise.
Yeah.
And so everyone will have their function. And rather than having one person doing everything in the local church,
yeah,
you know, others will begin to rise.
Yeah.
And even though now, as individual, we might start pulling back in certain things, doing less, but the work is actually increased. Its productivity is actually better. So it's not just one person doing everything all the time,
yeah,
but you suddenly see, okay, everyone is beginning to rise,
yeah,
and providing their share.
Yeah.
Remember, like the music part, not everyone's going to do every single thing with that one instrument, because that instrument was designed to provide for that range of frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when we learn that, and the church begins to operate in its function, the members begins to rise in the gift and the grace that God has given them, and everybody does their share, you know, the pressure is, you know, people will be much freer.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on one single person, but everybody is rising, and the church becomes stronger,
yeah,
and stronger.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Amen.
So that's the reason why when we understand, or we ask God, God help us to understand what are the times that we're living in, we start to see the seriousness of the things that we are in. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that we should be all, you know, so serious and so, like, you know, like we can't have any joy, we've got to be so focused and all these kind of things that, you know, we don't have time for anything else. But what I am saying is that there is a seriousness that has to arise from our spirit to know the urgency of the times that we're living in.
Yeah.
Because when we understand the times that we're living in, we will set the different priorities.
Yeah.
Like if we think that doctrine is going to be, is going to be attacked, then we need to make sure that we have right doctrine.
Yeah.
So we focus on these things. So if we have a choice between, you know, playtime and strengthening doctrine, we would choose to, you know, strengthen our doctrines, the Word of God. All right?
Yeah.
Okay? All right, so this is basically point one, okay? And we're going to move into point two. So recognize the times that we're living in. Now, I can't spend too much time talking about the last days in itself, because I think that would be another, you know, message in itself. But with the 6 points that I mentioned, these are some of the things that are happening. So, as a summary, if you wish, we start to see, okay, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The mountain of the Lord shall be established. Nations shall come in. So, we pray for nations. Now, our church has started praying for nations, because we're believing that, you know, this house must become a house of prayer for all nations. So, we set time to do that. Right? Do you know what I'm saying? So we need to. So what is happening? What is God doing? Perilous times are coming. All these things are coming, and all these things. So we need to prepare ourselves for what's ahead. Number two is we're going to see our bright future. I'm just using this on the basis of, you know, Daniel, because we've been spending a lot of time doing Daniel in the life group. And the amazing thing about Daniel is that Daniel was very prophetic. He saw visions and he understood. He had dreams and he had visions. And what he saw was not only relevant for his day and his time, right? Because he was there when Babylon fell and all these things. And what he saw was relevant for his time, but he actually saw more than just what was about to happen in his own lifetime. He saw the future. You know, he saw what would happen next. He saw very far. He saw more. He prophesied, I should say, more than just the first coming of Jesus, but he also prophesied about the second coming of Jesus. He prophesied about our day and our time. He saw the everlasting kingdom. He saw much further. And one of the things he did is that he understood by the book of Jeremiah, by studying the book of Jeremiah, that the captivity shall be only 70 years. So because he understood that, he understood that, hey, this time is only for this period of time. I know what's coming next. I know our future. We're coming out of Babylon. But much more than that, like I said, he talks about our future. He talks about the second coming of Jesus. So we need to keep our eyes focused on our destiny. You know, a lot of times we like to camp around our circumstances, right? Or all our difficulties. We camp there, we set our eyes on there, and we're trying to work things out on our own, right? But we got to keep our eyes on the finality of what it is. You know, of our destiny. What is our destiny? What is our destiny as a church? Where are we going? You know, that's the reason why I started. I said, well, this present age, there's a present age, there's a last days, these are the time we're leading in. But when that ends, what's next? What are we expecting? What are we looking for? Okay? Now, just to give us a quick, maybe, overview of some of the events, just so we keep that in mind, is that from now on until Jesus returns, right, God is restoring His church. He's restoring you and I.
Amen.
All right? And that's why God is going to keep working in our lives until we are dealt with, because He's coming back for what we say, a glorious, spotless, perfect, blameless, without wrinkle church. So God is restoring the church, but there comes a period of time where there's a manifestation of the Antichrist on the earth. For 3.5 years, there will be great tribulation. In that period of time, the out-of-court Christians, they will have to, you know, either accept the mark of the beast or be martyrs for Jesus Christ. That will be the option, while the true church will be protected and taken into the wilderness and protected by God for 3.5 years. So we see that there's a period of time like this that is going to take place. In these 3.5 years, money is going to fail. Money is going to fail. Now you ask me, you know, why? Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is in the Bible. Book of Revelation tells us that money will fail. And the only way that you and I would be able to purchase, or people will be able to purchase on the earth, is that if you have the mark of the beast. That's the only way you'll be able to purchase. Right? But money will fail. You might wonder, why am I saying this? Is because, like I said, if you understand the times that we're living in, when you look at pain now, it's changing over time. You know, we used to pay with cash, right? Now we use credit cards or cards, debit card, whatever, right? PayPal, and then Now you got PayPal, you know, you just, you don't even put in a code, you can just, bam, you know, like that. PayPal and all that. Now you even have, you can actually use your mobile phone to actually use it as a credit card. I don't know if you're getting where I'm going with that, but can you see how the payment is changing?
Yeah.
And less, you don't actually need cash or money or things like that. You know, you're not going to need all these kind of things. It's changing. So what is happening now in this time is leading up to this period of time when money will completely fall. There will be no more money, and the only way would be the mark of the beast. And what will you and I do in this period of time? Okay? But we don't camp around here. This is true. But as long as we are overcomers and we love Jesus and we keep going and we keep progressing, God says that He will protect His church. He will protect us. But it's dependent on, hey, where do we want to be? All right? But we don't camp around these 3.5 years because we believe that God will sustain and protect us just as He protected the children of Israel in the wilderness. Right? But after that, what shall come? And Jesus shall come back, you know, take everything back, return the kingdom back to the Father, you know, and what will happen is after that there will be a 1,000-year reign. where the saints will reign with Christ, the true church will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And after these 1,000 years, when the judgment is over, there will be what? New heavens and new earth. And so, if God is calling us, and so with this in view, we see our destination, because destiny means destination. And this tells us, okay, this is where I'm going. Alright, it's not just, I'm on my way to heaven. Right? It's not just, I mean, it's that, you are going to heaven. But what I was saying is that, it's not just that and that's it, you know. But this, I've got a destiny, I've got an assignment, I've got a journey to do. I've got something to accomplish. The Bible says, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. And God says, you know, I've made you kings and priests. Now kings, they rule. Alright? So does it mean that until He returns, Jesus said, well, you know, you occupy until I return. Does it mean that we have a job, we've got a job as Christian, as the church, now in this time, in the last days, by which God is restoring, calling His church to say, well, hang on, I'm calling you to rule and reign with me in the heavenly places, and go into all the world, and begin to influence every part of society, and become the head, not the tail, and occupy all these things, and bring it back to the Lord, and bring Jesus in, until all the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see that this is what God's called us to be, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, you know, and we see that, and oh wow, this is what God's actually called us to do. When we start doing that as a church, then our things that we do and align ourselves as a church will be different. Our priorities will be different. Yeah. What we set our things, you know, and that's the reason why if we can start to embrace that and see, okay, well, I've got a destiny, I've got a destination. We'd move together as one. Because without that, you know, some people might say, well, you know, ruling and reigning is not so much for me. I've accepted Jesus. I'm going to go to heaven and that's all I want to do. You know, and I'm not saying that everybody should be, you know, the visibility must be high. Not everyone's going to be prime minister. Not everyone's going to be, you know, this kind of stuff. But everyone has a part to play. And unless we play that part, we cannot see the fuller picture come to place. So what I'm saying is we need to see that all of this is for you and for me. And without that, we would be just left alone trying to accomplish something that we don't even know what we are trying to accomplish, because we don't know where we are going. We don't know that Jesus Christ is coming to take back the kingdom and rule and reign. But how do we rule it? You know what I'm saying? So I believe that, you know, to pull our strength together as a church, to mobilize every member, to get ourselves together and say, hey, you know, let's do this together. You know, sometimes we talk about, let me finish with this, is that sometimes we say, okay, let's, we're doing this, okay? We're doing, let's say foundation class or something, you know? It could be anything else. I'm just using that because that's what's happening. Or let's say the Byford Healing Service, for example. You know, and if we're not on the same page and we're not seeing it in the light of where we're going, everyone, every single one will have their own opinion of why it should be done, or whether it should be attended, or whether it's important, or how important. Everyone will have their own opinion based because why? Because it's, you know, it's dependent on where you see it go. If we see it go in the light of what God is doing, if everyone is on the same page, I tell you, it's a different, whole different story. It's a whole different level. Yeah. But when every individual has their own understanding of, it's another service, maybe, you know, because what we are lacking is our minds is lacking of to see, hey, where is this going? What is the destination? What are the times that we're living in? And when we start to put that in context, and I believe that, you know, every single one of us here will begin to rise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So let's pray today, this morning, that God will put that into our hearts. God will put that in, pour out in our lives, so that we would not be so casual about all things, but we'll be conscious that the days and the times that we're living in, they are significant times. in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now, pour upon us, cause everyone here to rise in Jesus' name, to function in Jesus' name, to gather as one man, with one vision, with one thought, with one mind, with one heart, with one desire, to see the kingdom of God rule over all the earth, that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In the mighty name of Jesus, bring about a consciousness of the times that we're living in Jesus' name, that in these last days you said that you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh, and your young men shall see vision, they shall prophesy, your sons and daughters, they shall prophesy, your young men, they shall see vision, and your old men, they shall see dreams. So right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, pour this upon us, in Jesus' name, cause your church to arise, cause every member to be mobilized, cause every member of this local church to be moving, to function in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, capture every heart in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for what you're about to do. We thank you that the church has a great destiny. We thank you, Lord, that you are building your church, and that no gates of hell can prevail anything that is founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We have a bright future. We have a bright future. We have a destiny. We have an assignment. We have a role to play in Jesus' name. And the church is going to rise like never before, in Jesus' name. In these last days, the church is going to be restored in Jesus' name. She shall come and she shall go from glory to glory, from glory to glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, pour that upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.